You're listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The Currency.News. It pays to be curious.
Artificial intelligence. Everyone's talking about it. Companies are playing with it, implementing it, embedding it. But it's also starting to feel like AI isn't just moving forward. It's picking up speed faster than the systems meant to keep it in check. A new survey from PwC Ireland highlights that gap at the heart of the challenge. While most Irish companies have begun engaging with responsible AI, far fewer have made it a core part of how they actually operate. To discuss this challenge, I'm joined in studio today by Keith Power, who's the responsible AI leader with PwC Ireland. Keith, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be here.
Keith, you had a big survey out. We'll come to some of the kind of the nuggets and the data points in it in a few moments. But responsible AI, what is it?
Great question. Responsible AI, it's the simplest way of saying it is really just about looking at AI, trying to get the benefits out of AI without losing control. So, you know, is AI useful, but is it also at the same time safe and secure? Do we have trust in it? Is it fair? Is it accountable? That's what it's really about.
Because we understand very, you know, things like GDPR, there's regulations, there's guidelines, and companies have policies around that. But AI is moving so fast, even to keep up with those policies can be quite difficult for companies. And how when you go into a company, how do you advise them on it?
Yeah, I mean, there are some regulations that are out there, the EU AI Act being primary among them. But realistically, it's about thinking back to the core principles of what you're trying to control. So what is it that you're using AI for? What are the risks associated with those particular uses? And are you looking at those specifically enough so that you've got proportionate responses then to those risks? And if you keep it back to principles, then the regulatory kind of compliance follows on naturally from that.
And it is, I think, the big word, and having read the survey, is trust. You know, are you trusting what you're doing? Are you trusting your employees? Trust just keeps on coming up time and time again.
It does. And it's interesting. It's trust, but who are you looking for trust for? So trust not just for the leaders in the business, but the employees, your customers, you know, your shareholders. So you got to think of all of those kind of dimensions when it comes to thinking about trust. And at the end of the day, you know, humans trust for a basis of reason. So what basis of reason are we giving people to have trust in AI and the outcomes of AI? So are we able to demonstrate what the AI is doing, how it's doing it, that we've tested it to make sure that it's going to do the right thing? That's how you kind of build up that level of trust over time.
Yeah, and it's as you said, it's multidisciplinary across all aspects, from clients to customers, staff, board, everything.
It is, and each of them will have their own perspective. I mean, if you just even take staff, even within that, you'll have different spectrums of kind of innate levels of trust or mistrust when it comes to AI. People are a little nervous about what impact it's going to have. So, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach that you take to trying to build up that trust. You need to think about what those motivations are and how you can try and address them as best you can.
And it is such a fast-moving and evolving situation. If we were having this conversation 2 years ago, AI was a different thing. You know, it was kind of more abstract. Whereas if now it's becoming very real and very tangible for businesses and the people engaged within them.
It is, and it's interesting. AI itself has been around for quite a long time. I mean, it's around for decades, but maybe not as visible to the general public and to most people. So it didn't have as direct a visible impact. So I think that's certainly a change. The technology is advancing very, very fast. But I suppose what we're seeing are organizations kind of leaning more into the use. So a lot of experimentation was happening. That's now moving more into actual demonstrable business impact. And when you start moving out of experimentation, that's when you really need to start having the control come along with that.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, no, listen, one of the things that the PwC survey suggests is that most Irish companies have started the journey towards responsible AI, but far fewer have made it a priority across the business. Why do you think that is?
There's multi facets to that. I think that there's certainly a recognition that it's important. We have to realise this is a bit of a journey that organisations need to go on. So as they recognise that they're starting to use AI a little bit more broadly and that there's more impact, then that's certainly recognition that they need to start to do more control. So that comes along with it. So there's a natural kind of lag of that coming along after it. I think that there's there's also the framing of the value here is really key to this. So if you take the view of the business, the leaders in an organization, they've got multiple different asks of them for investment. They're being asked to invest in AI, they're being asked to invest in new systems, they're being asked to invest in various different things. And next thing along, somebody comes and says, we need to now invest in responsible AI, when maybe they haven't yet seen some of those cost-saving impacts come back to them for AI. So you need to give a rationale as to why it's important. And I think that view of, is responsible AI just simply helping us mitigate risk, or is it helping us to just comply with the regulations, or is it giving us something extra?
And can we get value?
Exactly. And changing that conversation really changes the appetite for investment. And when investment comes, that's when you make real progress.
It's a really good point because, you know, AI, and I'm going to break it down to first principles here. AI, people think, right, I can get cost savings or I can use it as a way of revenue growth. You throw the word responsible AI in front of it and suddenly people are thinking, my goodness, there's compliance. This looks like a cost. It looks like another set of audited accounts or whatever else. So it's to break down that barrier to try and convince that C-suite level that this is a, you know, somewhere we can put the resources into.
Yeah, and there's a kind of growing recognition of that, I guess. Like the survey, when we asked people what value do they see in responsible AI, coming out top of the list was things like risk control, cybersecurity and so on. But there was a sizable number were also saying, well, we're seeing benefits here potentially in protecting our brand, in some better customer outcomes, customer engagement. And interestingly, if we contrast the Irish responses to the US responses when we did that, the top value that the US companies are seeing is an improved return on their overall AI investment. So if you go in and talk to C-suite people about that, that'll get their attention because that's then helping them to get to recoup that larger investment.
And what else struck you from that sort of Ireland versus the world in terms of, because the great thing about PwC, it has that global network. So you can see what businesses in Ireland are doing, but you can compare and contrast them to what businesses all over the world are doing. What else struck you?
Yeah, it's we're probably just a little bit earlier in our journey in Ireland when it comes to responsible AI than we are in other territories. We contrast in the survey against the US specifically, but actually the same pattern emerges when we look at the UK and other territories. So I think it's you know, one particular question which we asked was around the effectiveness of the controls that are in place. So leaving aside what people are doing, how effective is that actually being? And when we see that, it averages out about a quarter of Irish entities are saying, look, what we're doing is effective when it comes to training our people, you know, having the right policies and applying those appropriately. That's about half the response rate in the US. So US, about 50% of organizations say, yes, we are very effective in what we're doing here. And I think that's just a maturity curve that we need to kind of move ourselves up along, is recognizing this is important. And we just need to up our game slightly in doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you go into businesses all the time. Are you seeing that sort of pace, the acceleration of understanding what they need to be doing coming through now?
You know, it's interesting. I see it in those who are directly involved in it. So if I talk to someone charged with responsible AI or AI governance, they really get it. They get the principles and they understand it. There's a general, I would say, lack of investment support that they're getting. And commonly they come to me and they say, look, we know what we need to do. We have a good policy in place. We're starting to put the frameworks in place, but I don't have enough people. I don't have enough people and I don't have the right people. And again, that comes through in the survey. There's about 2/3 of organizations just saying, look, we know what we're doing. We just don't have enough people.
It comes to my next question, actually, because as I was reading through it, two words were coming into my mind beyond trust, which we talked about earlier, but it's defensive or offensive. So is it seen as a defensive play that we're investing in AI and responsible AI, or how can we convince it to be more of an offensive play? If you take my point.
It is. And you know, it's coming back to the value proposition, right? So is it that defensive or not? My own view on this is, if you are in an organization that you can demonstrate to your customers and to your shareholders that actually you get this right, you've got it controlled, and you're going to be able to do two things. One, you'll get a lot more buy-in from those other stakeholders, so they'll support in what you want to do. But also the people in your organization charged with doing that innovation, they can accelerate because they now know what the guidelines are. They can move at speed and at pace because they know they're going to stay within those guardrails, and they're not going to get an overly controlled environment that they have to try and innovate within.
I want to touch upon people and adoption, because all of these are brilliant tools, but it relies upon people as well and yep. how you adopt them and how you bring them into the system. The survey suggests that they're somewhat, a cultural resistance isn't the biggest barrier in Ireland. But what are the challenges about trying to kind of implement responsible AI within businesses, and how can they overcome those barriers?
Yeah, so the response in the survey is the biggest challenge is about scaling. So we know the principles. How do we scale it and operationalize it? But if we break it down to day-to-day stuff, what does that actually mean, right? So I think there's a lot of training programs, but there's probably a lot less education, if I can put it that way. So we have various training programs to tell people this is what AI is about and here's a few principles. But what we're not really doing is helping them understand why it's important to them in their day-to-day activity. Because a lot of this control actually comes back to what are the humans involved here going to do to monitor the AI solutions? How do they interpret the outcomes? How do they know when they need to intervene in order to make sure that the control is in place? So that education is critical. And I was at an event last night. We were talking to various people, and actually one of them gave me a really good example of it, how they have made it a day-to-day responsibility of everybody across the organization who uses AI. It's their day-to-day responsibility to think about responsible AI principles. So not just to be a consumer of AI outcomes and not just to be happy to use it, but also to think about, is my use of AI fair, transparent?
And that comes back, I think, to getting employees and staff comfortable with AI. So they're not thinking, this is going to take my job, I'm going to be outsourced. But to get them comfortable with how it can be a tool and an aid to them and the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of talk at the moment about what impact is AI going to have on jobs. I don't think we should shy away from that question. I think we need to actually embrace it and say, look, there is going to be an impact, but that impact doesn't necessarily have to be a reduction in roles. I think it's going to be fundamentally changing some roles, but there's certainly a need, and in fact, I see an increasing need for human involvement in wholly automated AI solutions, because we need that control, we need that guidance that's in there. So that rather than say there is no impact or to try to dismiss that, I think it's important we kind of lean into that conversation.
I want to talk about regulation. We touched upon it. I don't want to say yawn, but it is actually very important within the context of AI. And I think you referenced the EU AI Act. Yep. That's going to be a really big factor going forward. And truthfully, I'm not sure a lot of companies are aware of just how significant it can be.
Yeah, I think that there is a level of awareness. The Act is complex, but it's also evolving, and that doesn't help organizations understanding. Right. So in the survey, we see, I think it's about 70% of organizations say that they're partially prepared for the EU AI Act, and only 14% are actually fully prepared. I think that speaks to a level of, we know some of what we need to do, but not everything. And part of that is the guidance maybe hasn't come from the regulators to kind of help organizations with that. I mean, even just in the last couple of days, there was due to be a press release on the omnibus around the AI, which will impact on timelines for high-risk systems. The press release itself has been postponed. So that kind of creates a...
But it is, it's a constant issue because the technology is moving so quickly. Yep. That it's very hard for regulation to keep up.
It is, which then that's where I say we come back to the principles. And even if you take the EU AI Act as an example of regulation, that is put together for a particular purpose, which is to kind of protect citizens for negative impacts of AI. There's a whole raft of other risks for organizations that aren't necessarily addressed by the Act. So going the regulatory compliance route will only deal with part of the problem. You need to think about, well, from my organization's perspective, what are my uses? What are my risks?
And when you're dealing with companies, Keith, I mean, what are the big challenges that they're actually seeing on a day-to-day practical basis?
So again, it's coming back to that operationalizing the controls. So we see that there's somewhat of a siloed approach in most organizations. So there'll be some activity in some divisions and they'll have some level of control. There may be policies, but the enforcement of those, the monitoring of those, and scaling that, operationalizing of the controls, that's a real challenge.
Yeah, and going forward, obviously, everyone's talking about AI agents and where it all goes next. I'm just wondering, are organizations thinking far enough ahead about how this governance and responsible AI is going to be evolving over the period? Or are they simply trying to play catch up?
There's a little bit of catch up. There is, again, in the survey, quite an interesting stat. We asked the question around what impact our agents going to have on governance, and about 56% of respondents said, yeah, it's going to have an impact. In the US, the response was 9 out of 10 people said, yes, this is going to have an impact. So there's quite a disparity there in terms of the view of the potential impact. I think some of that might be related to just a little bit of kind of caution on some of the Irish respondents saying, well, it's going to have an impact, but it might be further down the road. Yeah. And I'm not necessarily sure that I share that view, because I see agents, you know, they are one of the main focus areas for implementation and adoption right now. And they do have potential significant impact on the kind of controls you need to operate. And the pace, as you mentioned at the very start, yeah, is fast. So, you know, I think that it's going to have more of an impact potentially than some organizations think.
Okay, let's just take a step back, okay, from the survey. And I'm just wondering what separates the companies that are getting this right from the ones that aren't.
And when you say getting this right, you're talking about their use of AI or their responsible AI?
Responsible AI. I think everyone's trying with AI, but to make sure. In fact, it's hard to separate those two things, because if people are playing around with it and they haven't got the policies in place, that leads to problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's that. If everybody had that view, I think we'd be in a really good position, because they are symbiotic and they need to go hand in hand. I think the organizations that are winning here are doing two things. They are using AI to transform their business, and they're using it to transform specific parts of their business, not as incremental kind of one-off plays. That's fundamental to getting value in and of itself. But hand in hand with that, they're also then putting what I'd call proportionate risk management in place, so proportionate governance. It's not about saying, well, let's have a single policy where we have a single risk appetite and we're going to make sure we comply with that. That just simply doesn't work. What you need to do is have proportionate. Identify where your real risks are. The high risk, that's where you concentrate.
Yep.
Low risk stuff, get out of the way and let innovation take over.
That's it's really practical advice. Just following on from that, Keith, I mean, to move from, obviously the survey shows there's a high level of ambition and perhaps not as much execution. So how do we bridge that gap?
That comes back to resourcing for me. So I think there's a lot of great intent. And sorry, we should say, you know, the survey is saying that there are some organizations that have reached the strategic level. So some organizations are getting this and they've got there. But what they have is they have very strong senior leadership buy-in that kind of takes ownership for AI right at the top and then drives that down. So that's key. And then secondly, the resourcing is put in place to make sure that this can actually take place day to day.
So it goes back to that point of I'm embedding it into the organization, as opposed to people kind of tinkering around the edges and we're talking about AI, but we're not really invested.
Yeah, exactly. And the positioning of ownership is really important here as well. So when we asked organizations, it's, you know, who owns AI? Who owns responsible AI, I should say. It's right now it's sitting in a data team, an AI team, maybe IT or engineering. They all need to be involved, but nobody came back and said our business owns governance for AI. Now, if we think about the use of AI is sitting very squarely within the business functions, they're using this to transform what they do on a day-to-day basis. So why are they not more heavily involved in governance? That kind of cross-discipline involvement in an overall governance forum where you do have your data protection officer involved, you have your legal view, you have your workforce view, but you also have the business heavily involved. That then means you get a broader view of what needs to be controlled and how to do it best.
Finally, and this is where I always like to ask this question, because we get access to a senior partner in PwC and we can ask questions and get the advice without having to pay the fee. If you were sitting down with a company and you wanted to give them one key takeaway or two key takeaways that they should be thinking about and implementing, what would it be?
So for me, I think the two main ones I'd go for. Firstly, one is around that ownership and leadership.
It's have really someone in charge.
Critical. Have someone in charge, but also make sure they know what they're in charge of. So don't come and tell them they're in charge of AI, because that's effectively meaningless. What they need to understand are, what are the systems I own? What are we using AI for? And then cascade that ownership down to the right people who are close to those operational processes, and they can have real decision-making authority for ownership. That as a matrix is really, really critical. The other thing I'd say is, you need to invest, but make sure you're investing in the right things. So invest in the capabilities, not so much in the frameworks, because the best policies and the best frameworks in the world will fall apart if you don't have the right people and tools to support it. So put the investment in capability.
People, resources, and being willing to evolve.
Yeah, Absolutely. Yeah, because this is, as you said at the very start, the pace is fast and it's not going to slow down anytime soon. The one people who will win in this, the organisations who will win, are the ones that lean into that evolution and change and build the guardrails that allow them to move at pace.
Okay, there's lots to unpack there, Keith. Keith Power is the responsible AI leader with PwC Ireland, and thank you very much for joining me in studio today.
Great, cheers.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh. Powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.